Yo, this Tim Hardaway with Xavier McDaniels. We just gonna start talking some smack as we used to do back in the day. But now we gonna, you know, talk about the old days, talk about the young days, talk about our kids, talk about, you know, what we doing today, and just have some fun with it. And you know, I remember Xavier McDaniel way back in the day when I was still in college, watching him with the Seattle Supersonics. And by the way, we need another team back in Seattle.
No doubt about that.
We need another team back in Seattle. I want to say that. Seattle is one of the greatest cities in America, and we need a team there. And I was watching him back with him and Tom Chambers and those guys. And, man, he was tough then. He was tough then, and I always remember him, you know, smashing people on the floor or being tough with somebody, and then talking smack to them when you was taking them down low. Yeah. You could take over a game offensively and defensively and talking smack. And but, man, it's always happy to see guys, you know, and you know, now in these days and ages, and happy to see guys and see, you know, talk to them and see what they're doing and everything. So, man, I always like to say, man, love seeing you guys.
Oh, yeah. I love seeing the older guys now myself, too, you know. Well, I haven't seen you in what?
Man, it's about 20 years.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. Yeah.
I remember you knocking us out the playoffs, too. We were playing, and we needed that win, and you hit that shot. On Nate McMillan, a little floater.
Oh yeah,
and I'm not sure what the score was, but it knocked us off the playoffs. So when I do see you, that's what one of the first things come in my mind. But you know, for myself, man, you know, they got the thing they call two way players, but I think there was a lot of two way players like myself,
yeah,
Rodney McCray,
yes,
a lot of people forget about guys like that who wasn't big scores, but all-around players.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was Scottie Pippen, those guys were already doing those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
But basketball for me, man, it's been great. I mean, think about it. You're from Chicago, tough neighborhood. I'm from South Carolina. I grew up in a tough neighborhood, and it's taken me so many places that I probably would never been. And I just always appreciated the game. And even with the injuries that come with it as you get older.
Yes.
I've seen you walk not long ago. I said, damn, he walked just like me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that just showed that you put in a lot of good work and stuff.
Yep.
And I've appreciate that crossover. You got that killer crossover too.
Don't let Charlie Scott hear you say that.
I think you made you and the late Pearl Washington made it famous.
Yeah, yeah,
y'all
yeah.
made it famous.
Yeah, Pearl had that ball on the string.
Yeah,
he had that ball on the string.
Yeah, you've done a great job yourself.
Thank you. But you know, I want to talk about back when we was coming in the league.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We had veterans.
Yeah.
We had veterans that taught us, right, made us understand what we should do, what we shouldn't do, how to go about our business, how to work on our game, and how to go out here and play for your team and respect your teammates.
Right.
Today and back then, say like if you missed a guy on the shot or he coming off the pick, you would hear about it.
Yeah.
You know, back then, there'd be a way where they could talk to you and communicate with you and make you understand.
Right.
I see that in today's game. It's not that much communication that way. And it's not a lot of guys, older guys on teams, like Udonis Haslam, that can help these young guys when they first come to the league and make them understand how to carry themselves, how to conduct themselves, how to play the game the right way, what the coach is talking about. And how to, you know, play for your team.
Right.
And what you think about that?
Well, since I have not been involved in the game, I can't really say what the young guys are doing now. But I know when I was coming through, I had guys like George Johnson, Maurice Lucas, John Lucas, Al Wood, Gerald Henderson, Ricky Sobers. Those are some of the guys I played with. We had to tote the film projector. We had to tote the balls. We had to make sure things got off the bus
right,
and stuff. You know, I don't know about now, but, you know, unless you get some guy that's going to be a kind of a prick, you know. Most times, you know, I know when I got to be older, Calipari told me one time, don't mess with Van Horn. I said, why? I'm not going to mess with him no way. He need to learn how to get them bags.
Right.
Everybody had to do it.
Right.
But they didn't want you to do that to him.
Right.
You know, so I tote bags.
Right.
You know.
How come they can't do it?
I went and got guys dinner. I took guys to dinner. Guys would call me. Al Wood and Jerry Henderson would call me. We need a driver tonight. They want to go out and hang out. I was their driver. I get up, go to their house, pick them up, take them to where they want to go, take them back home. And if they want something to eat, Rook, go get me something to eat. So it's a lot of things. I can't say what's going on now, but, I mean, it's you know, pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
And even I came in as a number four pick, you know, I wanted to learn. Because what young kids don't know, and I seen a kid from Columbia, South Carolina, Devontae Shuler yesterday, and I was watching him, and I was like, "Boy, he's really lost out there."
Mm.
I could see he was lost.
Right.
I can see, because now they don't understand the speed of the game.
Correct.
They don't understand the size of the game.
Correct.
And I seen it was lost, and I called my boy and said, "Hey, man, I'm sitting there watching Dante Shuler." He's like, "You here?" I said, "Yeah." So we got up together because I know he coached him, and I was trying to tell him this is some of the things that he needs to see. It's a lot you got to learn,
right?
And veterans can teach you that. The right veterans,
right?
You can get some wrong veterans.
Yes, you can.
Teach you something wrong.
Yes, you can.
You know, but you get the right veterans, and a true veteran is going to really teach you the right way. And you know, that was something I just kind of. I ain't going to say I felt bad for him, but I was like, oh, how could I help him?
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, they got so much security.
Oh, yeah. When you I was, can't even go down
when
there.
When I was in summer league, and I didn't even play summer league my rookie year because you had to do your negotiations.
Right, right.
And I got mad. I left Seattle. I was working out every day, and they were taking this long time. I just got married. I was just sitting in a hotel all day. So I left. As soon as I left, 2 weeks later, I had to come back out. Summer league over with, but I played the next year as a second year player.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come to practice. They told me just show up for the game. So, and I was trying to help guys because
right.
That's where I've been taught to help them.
Exactly.
You know, be hard on them,
right.
But help them.
But help them.
Don't make it easier for them.
Right.
And I think sometimes a lot of older players, we see the finances they get. Sometimes we think that, you know, they're not putting in that same type of work. You know, I hear the Charles Barkley story. He ain't toting no damn
right.
This and that. But you're going to get a guy who's not going to go against the grain anyhow.
Right.
You
right.
know, me, I wanted to learn and I wanted to get better. Unfortunately, one thing about basketball is what injuries.
Yes.
And if you can sustain them and play through them and stuff, you can have a long career. But sometimes the injuries can cut your career short too. So.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you was at then you went from what? Seattle, then you bounced around, then you went to New York.
No, I went to Phoenix.
Phoenix.
A cup of coffee in Phoenix.
Yeah, right. A cup of coffee in Phoenix.
A cup of coffee in Phoenix.
You're right.
And got traded for Eddie Johnson and I think 2 first round picks. Didn't work out because I am not Hornacek. If I was a shooter like Hornacek,
mm-hmm.
They did better by getting a Dale Ellis. Because now you're putting me where Eddie used to be. I like to get that mug and put it on the floor and
right.
then shoot.
Right.
I'm not a catch and shoot type guy.
Right.
You know? And so I love Tom Chambers. I love playing with him. Kevin Johnson. Those guys were great. Hornacek, mm-hmm. Dan Marley, Tim Perry, Mark West. All those guys were great.
Yeah.
Ed Neely. I think that was his name, Ed Neely. I know his name.
Yes, Ed Neely.
Played at K-State.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't a very, very good fit for me because now you're taking me and put me at the four against Malone. I can guard him, but I can't guard him a whole game.
Right.
I'm 210. You know, mm-hmm. 215, you know, he 240, 250.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that weight gonna catch up with
right,
you.
Right.
So we caught a hot Utah team too, so I got traded to New York and just like I told Phoenix, I'm coming out this contract. Yeah, I know a lot of people don't realize I had that first buyout now.
Okay.
over anybody. Nobody had a first buyout but me. I paid $500,000 January 28, 1992. I bought my contract out with the New York Knicks. And it's like everything just went downhill after that. Mm-hmm. Because, and me and Riley talk about it. And, you know, it's just a situation where I felt like I was being lowballed. Mm-hmm. And, I tell people all the time, you ain't seen Tim Hardaway score a point, right? If you ain't in the game, you can't score.
Right.
You ain't in the game, you can't get an assist.
Right.
You ain't in the game, you can't make nothing happen. And that's what happened to me. And then I signed as a free agent. Red Auerbach put me in a room, not this big, but similar. And he said, we're not going to let you compete against everybody else. Either you're going to take it. And I thought about it. I made one phone call. I said, Patrick, you tell me not to, I won't sign it. You know, we got to make it work with New York. He said, X, if they wanted to sign you, they would have been undone. It's September. And, you know, this thing starts, what, September 1?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's August. Now it's after Labor Day.
Right.
Season getting ready to start in 3 weeks.
Right.
So I went on ahead and signed with them. Had a pretty good year in Boston, coming off the bench, and Reggie Lewis passed.
Right, right.
And the team went disarray. And
right.
I got kind of lost in the shuffle. And then I went overseas for a year and came back with New Jersey for 2 years. So
okay. Yeah.
But I got no complaints. I enjoy it, you know. I tell people all the time when I go speak, Tim, where in the hell you can go wake up every morning and go play basketball.
Exactly.
And get paid for it.
Exactly. Something you love to do.
Only in America.
Only in America.
You get
overseas
paid for
too.
It. Well, you
but
get you, paid overseas.
But it's not like yeah. In America.
Not like in America. They still owe me $1 million over in Greece. So, but the NBA, that check come every time.
Right.
I mean, just to wake up and play basketball,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Your day starts with maybe going to McDonald's or Burger King and getting some breakfast, or wherever you Denny's or Waffle House, wherever you live at, and get some breakfast.
Right.
Or cook breakfast at home and go to the gym and play basketball.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. I mean, it's the greatest job in the world, man. Something you love. And I was trying to tell my son when he was at the University of Texas at Rio Grande Valley, you know, you're going to miss this when it's over with. And 2 years into it, he doesn't get the grades, and now he's floating around. But, I mean, you got to take advantage of it.
Yes,
and
you definitely got to take advantage.
You take advantage of it, man, but it's the – I mean, how do you just wake up and just play basketball, man? Grown men playing basketball.
Yep, but that's what we used to do all the time, just play basketball. Just grew up. Yep. Tell me about the infamous fight between, or the boxing match between you and Gary Payton. I mean, everybody, I was listening to Gary about 3 weeks ago, and he was on TV talking with Ahmad Rashad, and that came up, and I said, all right, I get to talk to X. Let me see what X says.
Honestly, Tim, I don't even remember. I don't even remember. I seen DP. I said, God damn it, get over here, boy. Yeah, you did it, man. You did it. You know you did it, man. You did it. You know you do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like GP.
Man, you know you was my boy, man. When Gary and his wife got to Seattle, he stayed with me.
Okay.
And I love Gary and Sean, man. I just unfortunately we couldn't.
Grow together
and stuff.
But take it to that next level together.
And mm-hmm. I think this one I kind of learned about basketball. But you know, when you got Bob Whitsitt and then you got new coaches, mm-hmm. I'm not their guy. They want to put
course.
The people in. But I feel like if I'd have been there, man, we could have got that championship.
Right.
Was always on that verge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just don't remember that fight, man. And Gary, no, and Nate, they know I ain't let nobody mess with them.
No, that's true. That's
people
true.
People can sit there, and I'll be looking on NBA TV, and they be having these guys, and I'll be like, them motherfuckers know. And Pastor, I'm sorry if you're watching this, Pastor Scott. I'll be like, Derek McKee went to the hole against the Pistons, and they body slammed him so bad. I was so hot. And the official said, I'm going to kick you out, X. I said, well, you're going to have to kick me out tonight. But before you kick me out, there's going to be some ass whooping up here today. I said, Nate, call the same play. And I said, you don't shoot no fucking jump shot. You go to the hole. He went to the hole and laid it up, nobody touching it. I said, call that motherfucker again. And the referee had to come to us and say, Xavier, I'm gonna have to kick you out. I said, no. When they slammed that man like that, y'all didn't do shit.
Right. Right.
I said, only thing y'all did, call a foul. Y'all ain't call no flagrant or no nothing. Mm-mm. That was fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, and.
But that's the way it was back in the day. That's why they stopped it.
Yeah.
They stopped it. You know.
When I got to New York, we kind of took it to another level.
Oh, yes, y'all did. Believe me, y'all did.
We bullied the bully.
Yes. Believe
Isaiah,
me.
Mm-hmm. You know, they don't like to talk about it. They'll talk about that what they did to Chicago.
Right.
But they won't talk about what we did to them.
Right.
You know, in the late Orlando Woolridge, mm-hmm. me and him was going at it all. Me and Rodman, we've been going at it. But I you know, get back to that Gary. I just don't remember Gary. And I'm like, you know how you talk. Man, you know you did that, man. And I'm about to go to sleep. Man, that's Nate, man. That's Nate Dalen, man. I was like, man, boy, you know I love you. Yeah. I said, you know I never let nobody mess with y'all. But Gary's had a great, great career.
Oh, no question.
I'm
Hall
glad
of Fame.
He got him a championship.
Yeah.
I
mm-hmm.
think that's the only thing that, you know, you always hear boxers say, you know, I ain't going to give up. You got to kill me.
Right.
I tell you, boy, these things right here, I done had 6 or 7 of them on it, 3 over here on the right leg, 6 mm-hmm. of them, and 3 on the left one. And, I mean, you would almost have to cut them off, man. It's just to the fact that I wanted that championship so bad.
Of course.
And I remember Riley calling me one day, and I'm like, and I just came out to him and said, man, I can't take them goddamn practices you do. I said, if I'm 22 years old, yeah, I'll do it.
Right.
You know, anybody know me, I practice hard, man.
Right.
No coach from Calipari to overseas to Bernie Bickerstaff, I'm going to play hard for you. I'll run through the goddamn wall for you.
Right.
But, you know, I might have should have went to Miami in 96. And
you should have came on.
I probably should have. But
I'm gonna tell you this: if your knees was that bad and you was hurting, you didn't want to come.
Yeah.
We was practicing hard for the first, you know, that whole year. Yeah. We was practicing hard, and I understood where he was coming from,
right.
Why he practiced. He said, you know, the games are 2.5 hours, so we're going to practice for 2.5 hours.
Right.
And we practice hard. And, you know, at times when we went out there and played, you know, we had another boost. We had another level in the fourth quarter at the end of the games, like that last 4 minutes.
That conditioning
took us to another level. And teams was like, man, y'all look like y'all fresh.
Right.
Y'all look like y'all, you know, y'all not tired. I said, well, that's – the practicing that we do it, but it all catch up with you at the end in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, when you need that, you know, for 6-7 months, and then you get down to when you really, really, truly need it, it's not there.
Right.
That's when you realize, yeah, you know, we you know, sometimes we need a day off, or we don't need to practice. We just need to come in, walk through, and then get out. But Pat was that stickler on, you know, perfection.
Right. Yeah, I remember when we were playing, I'll never forget this, as long as I live. We were playing at San Antonio Spurs. And the NBA is also about matchups.
Right.
My matchup with Sean Elliott is always in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, Sean was blowing by me. And so after the game, Pat Riley, we're getting into it, me and him getting into it. And I looked at him and said, fuck it. I just played 2 fucking games tonight, man. I played one at... We went from 10 o'clock to like 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, and shoot around.
And I was so tired.
Yeah.
I went to the hotel room because in New York we stayed in a hotel instead of going back up to Westchester County.
Right, exactly.
So we stayed in the hotel, and I'm coming to the game and showing up late. And I get there like 10 minutes afterwards and get out there. And I mean, Sean, I mean, I think he had like 32. I mean, he's blowing by me. He's killing me, ducking all over.
He was tired.
And me and Riley gets into it, and I stand out. I said, God damn it. And we just going at it, man. And I told him, I played 2 fucking games tonight. I played 1 this morning, and I played 1 tonight. I'm fucking tired, man.
Exactly.
And I went to Patrick one day and said, man, you got to talk to Pat, man. He's killing us. And he told me, man, I just practiced, man. I said, God damn, the star player ain't going to say nothing. I know I can't say nothing.
Right.
I'm on the contract gear.
Right, right.
But that particular game, I had to say something.
Right.
But I understood what he was doing. I just thought he just went overboard with it.
Yeah,
I knew he was trying to establish what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How he wanted.
Yeah.
And
the culture.
Yeah.
The culture of what he come from and what he believes in and everything, which is good and everything. But like I said, sometimes it's a little overboard. And that overboard and that borderline, that's what can hurt you.
Yeah.
And they always talk about mind over matter. But you, when your knee or your ankle or, you know, or your hamstring go out, that's not mind over matter. That's just muscles being fatigued and popping. But, you know, I always loved playing for Rowdy because he was always, always prepared.
Yeah. Oh, he's always one of the most prepared. Him and Vernon Bickerstaff are the most detailed guys that I played against. Cop Fitzsimmons, fuck them. They got to guard us. We play in Detroit. He said, his speech would be, well, you know, they're good defense. First one to 100 wins.
that was that Phoenix Suns mentality. You know, we with Golden State Warriors with Don Nelson, we wanted to play some type of defense, but we was too small because you all was always overpowering us. Y'all always, you know, push us up under. You know, like you said, you sting Karl Malone for 48 minutes, it's going to take your toll on you.
Right.
You know, Mitch sticking you for 48 minutes, it's going to take its toll on Mitch because Mitch is 6'5", 6'6", you 6'9", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10".
Mitch way more than me back then.
Okay.
But
your body frame was a lot stronger than his.
A lot of people didn't realize this. They were like, they thought I was maybe 220, 225. I came in the league at 205.
Okay.
I played 8-9 years at 215. That's the biggest I ever got.
Well, I tell you this. You hit me one time when I was going to the hole, and I was like, God damn, that really hurt it. That really hurt it. And I understood that right then. No, you know who going to hit you hard, who going to, you know, somewhat. When you hit me, I said, yeah, when I go in this hole against him, you and Terry Cummins and Charles Oakley and
Paul Malone.
Well, Carl Malone. But, you know, Carl liked to strip you down. But you guys, y'all would hit us hard. You got to go in there expecting to get hit real hard, but you got to give you something too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get your little elbow. You got to, you know, hit you first and whatever. But you got to hit you so the brunt of the hit won't be as hard as it normally is. But yeah, man, I remember that, and with those Seattle days, I remember, you know, that game. It was the last game of the season. And that game went to double overtime when he was in Oakland.
Right.
And that game went to double overtime. And I was wearing number 5. And Dana Barrows was on y'all team. Yeah. And I remember that because the next year y'all got Gary Payton.
Right.
But I remember that like it was yesterday. I was like, you know.
Yeah. That's ones y'all knock us out to play on.
I know.
And we finished 4-1-4.
I said, Don Nelson said, you know, let's go out with a bang. Let's beat these some bitches and kick their ass out the playoffs, and let's go home and let's build on something. Right. Let's build on this for next year, and we did that. We went out there and it was a full house out there for the last game of the season, and we knocked y'all out the playoffs. And I saw y'all faces, and I was like, ooh, they really, really, really upset right now. Yeah. And I said, next year it's gonna be war.
Right.
That's all I thought about.
Well,
next
Bernie
year,
Bickerstaff resigned.
We
got Casey Jones in. And,
right. But it was still war. The next year, when our games, when we played, it was just war because it was y'all wanted to get payback and y'all wanted to make sure that we understood that, you know, that we not supposed to do that.
There were always some great games against the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Even when they had Jerome Whitehead and Joe Barry Carroll. Mm-hmm. One of the toughest guys I ever had to guard. I think he was gone by the time you got there, Purvis Short.
Oh, I heard about Purvis Short. God. I heard about him.
I'm talking about rainbows.
Yeah, I heard about
him. I mean, those are the type of guys that made me learn how to play defense. Mm-hmm. Mike Mitchell played with San Antonio. Late Mike Mitchell played with San Antonio Spurs, went to Auburn. Those guys, Mark Aguirre.
Yeah.
You know, the Alex English.
Adrian Dantley. Yeah.
I mean, he got the ball and he spent it. He ain't even moved. I mean, these guys were really taught me how to play defense. Mm-hmm. And when I first got in the league, You got to realize I came in as the top scorer in NCAA and top rebounder in the same season.
Right.
So I came in as a score rebounder. Mm-hmm. And when you realize my first game was against Mark Aguirre. Second game was against Rodney McCray. Third game was against Alex English.
Yeah.
And the list kept going. Then it was Worthy. Yeah. Then it was Bird, Purvis Short,
Carl
Adrian
Malone.
Dantley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you got all these guys. And every night at that small forward slot, man, was so tough.
Yeah.
When I tell you it was tough, man, it really taught me how to play defense. The first year, I can say that's where I learned to play defense after that first year. Going into my second year, I knew how to guard people a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I paid a little bit more closer to detail on one of forcing guys. But then you find out guys, they may go right all the time, but they can still go left.
Yep.
But you had to play them straight up.
Right.
But, I mean, that small forward slot, man, there was no easy night.
Mm-hmm.
There was no easy night, man. And, people always talk about the golden age of basketball. But I tell you, man, the golden age, sometimes I always say to them older players, they get mad at them guys making that 40 million.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, go get that goddamn money.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Because they should have been paying it. Maybe not at that extent, but they should have been paying it. Because the owners know they've been making a lot of money.
Right.
And that's why me and Ty used to get in arguments. We'd be working out in Columbia. We'd be in the steam room. It's 100 degrees outside. But we're in the steam room. Either at USC or the Y downtown Columbia. And I'm like, Ty, until they open up the books, you'll never know what they make. You'll never know what they make. Until you can see, they'll never know. That's why they always wait till the last minute. Ninth hour, they're going to give up the money. But you'll never know what they make, but they should have been, the guys should have been paid pretty well. I mean, you think about it, in 1985, guys were making $75,000.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on a minimum.
Right.
You know?
That's
so
true.
Just imagine you had to go to New York on minimum wage.
Ooh, with the taxes.
Yeah. That's, I mean, theoretically, they owe especially a lot of young guys who were making 75, they owe them money.
Right. But I will say this, and I always bring this up. I always bow down and I always thank Chris Paul and the Players Association for giving us free medical.
Medical. Yeah.
That's
$1,100 a month it was costing me.
Yeah. But I'm telling you this, that's probably the biggest attribute that we have ever gotten from the Players Association is the health care that we get now like we used to have when we was playing for our families. So I always say thank you, Chris Paul. Yeah. Thank you, Players Association, because without you all getting us that, it'd be a lot of people, a lot of us out here hurting with medical fees and trying to get these pills and operations and everything like that. So I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know Retired Players Association, thank you too. So thank you. I always say that because without them, you wouldn't be getting these operations.
Right.
You know, you'd be hurting.
Well, to be honest, I've been paying for my own because I haven't had one since you got received.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But that's still good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's a great thing that they did. And it's something that, I mean, you got to thank the younger guys for, you know, Chris, Chris Paul, LeBron, these guys.
They fought for us.
They done some things that probably should have been done.
A long time ago.
My hat's off to them.
Right.
And you know, those guys have been great ambassadors for the NBA, too. So, I like to appreciate them personally for myself. Also, you know, because, I mean, I could have been still paying that Cobra.
Yes.
Because I had to go out and find my own because I paid the Cobra when you first retired.
Right.
You can keep the Cobra, the insurance, and that was something like $5,000.
Yeah, it was like
$30,000.
Yeah, it was like
something like that.
Yep.
And I was just told
every 3 months.
Easier to just go find your own insurance.
Right.
And I found something similar to what I had. And it was only $1,100. I think it was like $1,100, $1,200 for me and my kids. So, you know, that whatever savings it is, it puts back in your pocket. Uh-huh. It don't seem like a lot.
Oh, it's a lot.
When you start doing $1,200 times, you know, 12,000 times 12 years, well, that's $144,000 yes. you just saved.
Yeah.
So you can yeah. put that money to college or yeah. something else. So, yeah, I appreciate what the guys have done for us.
So what are you doing today? What are you doing now?
Well, I was renting houses. I was had a janitorial business. I've been doing okay. a little rehab in houses.
Okay.
And so the houses that I did not sell, I was renting them. Matter of fact, a guy from Chicago, your hometown, called me and we started negotiating. I sold my houses.
Okay.
And I sold my janitorial business. So right now, man, I'm just in between right now, not doing really nothing. I got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. I also got a
6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
I laugh at y'all. Yeah. You 57, 58 years old with a 6.
Still a stud, baby.
I see that. I see that. But 6 and 3?
6 and 3.
Whoo, Lord.
And yeah. they almost just total staying up in here the other day running around. But I got an older daughter about to get married and got to get ready to pay for a wedding. And then I got my daughter went to the University of North Carolina. She tore her knee up and her Achilles back-to-back years.
Oh,
one of the
to
top
that.
Players in the country. She was All-American. Played in the McDonald's All-American game in Chicago. Went to North Carolina. She still did pretty good. Scored about 1,100 points.
Okay.
She was like a daddy.
Right.
She could rebound and she can score.
Right.
Then my son went to University of Texas at Rio Grande Valley and in Edinburgh, Texas, and didn't do too well. Didn't go to class.
Got to go
so
to class.
So he's still trying to figure it out. Matter of fact, he was talking. He told me he's going to go back to school. I said, good. But one thing I can't do is pay for that education. Now, if he didn't pay for it, I did like I did with my oldest daughter. I'll pay for it.
Right.
But because you had a free education and didn't take advantage of it, why should I pay for it?
Right.
So the lesson
you're just
learned,
teaching a lesson. That's all.
Trying to teach them a lesson.
Right. It's always lessons.
So I got two more little boys, 6 and 3, and hopefully, God willing, God will have me around, health stay good.
Right.
That I'll be able to watch them grow, and hopefully they'll play. If not, then, you know, hopefully they get that good education.
Exactly.
You know? So, and I told my son, you don't want to graduate. I graduated. His mom got her degree. And the other two girls got there, so hopefully he'll get it and figure this out. And it's pretty good athlete.
I mean, every kid is gonna have bumps and bruises.
Yeah.
You know, somebody gonna think that they got that special kind of way to do it their way and this and that, but it ultimately comes back around that they understand. I got to go and do it the right way and get it done the way it's supposed to get done.
It ain't how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up.
Right.
And exactly. You got to be a fighter.
Yep.
And sometimes some of my friends say, well, damn, he lives in a mansion. He drive. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have bought the car, but hell, I bought it anyhow. So, you know, you wish your kids do better than you. It's harder to do what I did. Because you know, it's only, 420 players, maybe 450 players in the NBA. You know, but, you know, it's one thing I know he could do that I always know he's way smarter than me. And if I got my degree, I know he should be able to get his. And that's what I told him. That will make me more prouder or anything. Mm-hmm. Hell, we ain't worrying about money. We can always make some money.
Right.
You know?
Right. Money is always out there to get
made. Yeah,
money's
out there to know how to go out and make it.
Right.
You know, I tell people all the time, I don't wash dishes. You know, I know what it's like to be a dishwasher. I know what it's like to bust tables. I know what it's like to do janitorial work. And my daddy ain't never taught me nothing. He taught me how to work.
Exactly.
And I tell people all the time, when I was growing up in South Carolina, and if you ever come there, people will tell you, my daddy gave me a sling blade. I don't know if you know what a sling blade is. He'd go, that's how I go cut people grass. I used to sling it.
He slinged it, huh?
And then when everybody else had push lawnmowers, The gas lawnmower, my daddy bought me a push lawnmower.
One of those things that rolls,
but you had to do the manpower.
Right, exactly.
And so I've always been one out there to just work and just go get it. And that's what I try to instill in them, too. So But you know, working hard has always been my forte, man. Mm-hmm. I tell people, I ain't gonna never be without because I know how to get out and work.
Right. You exactly.
Know? I ain't never privileged to going out doing something. Mm-hmm. I don't like to do a lot.
Right.
But when I got to,
you
I will.
Got to, you will.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, X. You know, I know this was good to reminisce and talk and everybody to see you again and see what you're about and see what brought you up and to see, you know, what you're doing now and what you're doing with your kids. Right. And you got a 6 and a 3-year-old. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you.
And you better be glad they don't have to say, go get them boys.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm glad you still you're doing well, man, and God bless you. And, and hey, man, many blessings
to
you.
Man, it's nice to see you too, Tim, man. You know, but when y'all be on that table talk, I need to hear my name.
Okay, make sure your name comes up.
My name come up too now.
I'm gonna bring your name
up
next time.
My name come up too because when it comes to a lot of stuff, I'm kind of laid back. I kind of stay in South Carolina a lot, and I know people be trying to get me to come out, but I don't like traffic. I don't like that. I love Seattle, but people tell you, you don't see me doing traffic time. I can't stand sitting in traffic. I used to hate that when I had to go to game. I used to have to go to game like 3-4 o'clock. Seattle, but you know I need to get out a little bit more and spend a little bit more time. So my old lady been saying, and she makes me come to some of these things. I don't even be wanting to come to them.
You should.
And she makes me get out. So
you should. You should come to all of them.
I do appreciate that, what she do, because, you know, if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't even be here now. She makes me get out.
Well, that's good.
Because she know I'll be sitting at them daggone tables, and she be sitting there telling me, all right, now. All right, now, because I come in there and go, God damn it. Lord, my pastor. Let me call my pastor or something, man. But I know I need to get out a little bit more. Yeah. I kind of
show your face.
We
want to see you. Show your face. People want to see you. Mm-hmm. People remember you. People want to take pictures. People want your autograph.
Right.
People still remember the X-Man, Xavier McDaniel. They
24th
still...
letter in the alphabet.
Right.
See, a lot of people, I know that.
How you know that? Because that's your name.
There you go, baby. There you go. All right, and I appreciate it, Timmy.
Appreciate you, too. So keep on keeping on, people.